Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. The time is 1:09 p.m. This is Lisa Gale.
Hello, ma'am.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Yes. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Doing very good. Glad to hear that. just one thing I really want to talk about, though, right? See if you could bury me for a few minutes. You know, it was often said that Barbados is not only an economy, it is a society.
Yes.
And that but this is my part, and that a productive society.
Actually, it said that Barbados is more than an economy, it is
more
a society.
Than, more, yes. more than an economy, it is a society, right?
Yes.
Right, so I want to base my contribution off of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would also like to add that a productive society also does enhance an economy. You agree with that?
That's right. Well, a productive society means there's production. There's that's all a part of the economy, yes, for sure.
Right. But in making a society great,
mm-hmm.
it all begins with a strong foundation.
That's
and
right.
that strong foundation is the home.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with that, too?
Yeah.
Right. Which brings me to the issue with the perspective candidate for the city, Nazlee.
Mm-hmm, yes.
I heard the program yesterday, but I listened to it during the night. And I was listening to Mrs. Spee's contribution to the program, in which she congratulated Nazlee for coming forward to represent the people of the city. But this from her really convinces me of the hypocritical nature of our society.
Okay.
Now, because after the endorsement of Nazlee, she turned her attention to the integrity of some of the people in decision-making positions in Barbados and suggesting, based off of the decisions from the Auditor General report and his recommendations,
mm-hmm.
that people or peoples should be held accountable, which I totally agree with. I believe that these people who are in position where the economy, contracts, whatever it is, I believe that when these people misuse or misappropriate the funds of the people,
mm-hmm.
I feel they should go to prison just as the ones that fell to prison for smoking a spliff or carrying a bag of cement. I feel they should get in prison too, right?
Okay.
But, you know, but to say that Nazlee's personal life, and this is what she said, has nothing to do with her endorsement, you know, it makes me wonder that as an experienced person who very often, listening to this program, she tried to create the impression that she's concerned about our children and the development, and she also at times blamed the parents for some of the deviant behaviors of our children. This also confirms the hypocrisy which I'm speaking about.
Okay.
And I would really like to ask Ms. P and people who think like her a couple of questions. One, what has Nazlee said or done to convince you that she's a fit and proper person to represent the city? Why would anyone, knowing that prostitution is illegal in Barbados, disregard or laws and advertise it? A person who understands the seriousness of guns in our society, and especially in the hands of our youth, would be seen on social media exposing a variety of weapons to these young, impressionable brains. And finally, have you ever considered the children of the individual and what serious and negative implications her action places on their lives?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she does not understand. Maybe she don't care. And if children are our future, Miss B, I am convinced neither do you care or Nazlee.
Okay, you're finished with those questions?
No, I just want to give you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some years ago, a person come out of the same Nelson Street area who used to do the, you know,
if you're lady changing, of the night, you don't change. I have Miss P who has called to respond to you, so I'm asking if you want to pause so that she can respond. You've asked a series of questions. and Miss P has called in. You're going on now to something else. I'm just asking if you could pause there for her to make her contribution. Could you hold?
Hello.
Yes, Miss P?
Yes.
Did you hear the questions from the... Is this Miss P?
Yes, it is.
Right. Did you hear the questions from the gentleman that just spoke?
You know what? His questions have no bearing on my life and my opinions because we come from two different backgrounds. I am a free and open spirit.
Okay, I thought you were calling to reply
to
him.
No. I've been on the phone for an hour.
Okay, so could you hold then
sure.
a minute? Yes.
Sure.
I thought you were responding to him.
No, I can't.
You're there, Mr. Oh, he's gone? Okay. So you go ahead then, Miss P.
Okay. In response to the gentleman, we come from two different backgrounds, raised two different ways. I was raised without corporal punishment. I know nothing about corporal punishment. I grew up with a mother who used a scientific method to raise me. And in return, I used that same scientific method to raise my daughter. But we had maternal instinct, which I still have. Lisa, my daughter's probably your age. I still have a very close bond with my daughter because of the way I raised her. She has no grudge against the way she was raised. There's no problem. Now, Natalie is probably a little bit younger than my daughter. I am not going to judge anybody based on their lifestyle. No one. Yes, I'm a heterosexual. So what? I am secure about who I am sexually, as a woman, as a feminist. And no one can interfere with my lifestyle. I am not threatened by my sexuality. I don't feel anybody can influence me.
But he didn't ask you all those questions. No, he asked you about what has convinced you to...
You know, but I have a right. I say I can't vote for her.
Mm-hmm.
I can't vote for her because she's not in my district. But, I mean, I like the fact that this woman is not hiding like a lot of religious people, a lot of hypocrites in this country hide behind the Bible, but yet they fornicate openly. Mm-hmm. And they want to... Judge Natalie? They eat pork. In the Bible it says pork is unfit for human consumption.
Actually,
well,
it doesn't.
I don't have to go along with these values.
The Bible says you can eat anything
so
long as it's blessed.
No. There's a part of the Bible that says...
The Levitical rule, yes, but we've passed that.
Oh, we passed that.
Mm-hmm.
See, everything is very convenient to religious people. They pass that. Pass
No, but if you follow the same history of the Bible... There is the Mosaic law, and that's not applicable to us in today. Then Jesus Christ came and died, and then there was the law, and you know, there's the main law has two planks. One is love God as you love yourself, and then love your neighbors, and all of the law is based on that one thing. Those two main things. So saying that the Bible says don't eat beef, you're inaccurate. That's all I'm saying. But we have another caller, the same gentleman who spoke to you before.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was there.
So this is a three-way conversation, Miss P and the gentleman who spoke to you before. Miss P just made some comments. She said she's not directly responding to your specific questions, but she's speaking more from where she sits, where she's come from. We have a number of persons who are hypocritical, and she's not going to sit in her chair and call the new candidate a... You know, she's not going to call her out because of her lifestyle, because there are many persons who have worse lifestyles or similar lifestyles who we don't know because they live behind the dark corners or we don't see their lifestyle, but they themselves are hiding. That's what Miss P, the essence of what Miss P said.
Lisa, hold on.
Yes?
You know what? If I was on a boat and fell off, do you think I would care who helped me get out of that situation? Who saved my life?
I heard everything you said, and if this is supposed to be that type of conversation, I heard your rebuttal. I'm just hearing back from the gentleman, and we can continue like that because y'all are making two sets of valid points, and I want to hear your perspective. So just let's hear what he has as a rebuttal.
No problem.
Mrs. Gill.
Yes.
You know, I just asked some questions that I think that are pertinent to whatever the discussion is about the prospective candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss P has her own, I call it philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And if she thinks that her philosophy, well, is going to help the young generation of people, because I'll tell this here, Miss Gill. You see, in that, I was explaining to you that in that same district, in the same Nelson Street area, there was a lady of the night too, right, whose mm-hmm. daughter passed for one of the top schools in Barbados. And this is something I know personally. A friend of mine, she knows him better than I do, and he went and he spoke to her. In 2 weeks' time, she stopped doing what she was doing and started selling some sweets and things in a different area.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You're too malicious. You're too much into other people's business.
Listen, man, you can't tell the boy, but we've been malicious.
I'm telling you.
Too much into people's business.
I'm going to have to pause you guys. If I want both of you to be respectful towards each other, you have different opinions. And if that's not allowed to, you know, happen here and play out, then I'm going to have to cut the call. So I'm going to give you a chance. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Are you there? Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, let's continue. Let's continue.
Do you want to speak, me or him?
Go ahead.
No, I get disappointed when I see people in this day and age. I mean, we have so many information available to us, how people can still decide not to tolerate people because of their lifestyle. You know how many great geniuses you're missing out on when you don't accept certain people? Lisa, I would love to meet you because I think you're a great human being. Do you think I really care what your lifestyle is?
I think people are more based on the conversations I've had. People aren't looking at it from the perspective of denigrating any individual who comes to office. It is what can they bring to the table.
I
think that's where the discussion has gone.
When I have judgment day, if there is such a thing, I don't have to answer for anybody else but myself. As long as I live on this life, no one's way of living can influence mine. I am so secure about who and what I am.
I'm getting some static from your call. I'm going to have to cut that one. That is kind of hurting my ears. I think you probably were listening to the radio. But I understand the different perspectives from both yourself and the gentleman that just called. And I thank you for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It is now 1:26 p.m. The call number is 434-4750. This is Down to Brass Tacks. 434-1790. Are you on the air?
Hi, good afternoon, Ms. Gail. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I know. I didn't listen to the program at the beginning.
Well, I haven't heard his voice in a long time.
But somewhere inside there, I hear them taking a look at leadership.
Okay.
So I would like to take a look at the leadership we have before us.
Mm.
Now, the two leaders of the main parties,
mm-hmm.
now, both of them, you would say, had an insurrection, you know, where the people under them are not satisfied. One was able to put down his and move on. The other one was stabbed in her back and removed by none other than her deputy. And he was driven to the Governor General, chauffeur driven, by none other than his perceived deputy. So when you look at leadership in this context, even the people within her party, she could not get quelled and satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
So she was removed from leadership. We went into election. The other leader was able to be victorious. The other party lost, and she come back to leadership again. She set sail with...
I assume you're talking about the leader of the opposition, Ms. Mia Amor.
Well, the two main parties, and you can distinguish which one is which.
Well, there's only a she leading any party, this particular
But
party,
there's only one in opposition, too.
Right. Well...
Good. And she set sail with... She as captain and 13 able-bodied seamen. The leader set sail with himself and 15 able-bodied seamen. And he was able to sail the longest journey ever and come home with his 15 able-bodied seamen intact.
What time you get home? You didn't get home yet?
The Parliament end. The journey is from throne speech to the end of Parliament. He made his journey.
To dissolution.
This is icing on the cake now that he's getting. She was not able to sail home with her, the crew she sat up with.
In that voyage, however.
On that voyage, yes. And it didn't even run... By the half-day stage, you had one jumping off, saying that he can't subject himself to her leadership. And then just after
you
that...
You got to refresh my memory. You know? You mean shortly thereafter the set sail?
I said half-day.
Well, I don't know what's that scenario. You may have a better understanding of that than me.
Well, halfway through the journey, Mr. Arthur get up from alongside her, and said he cannot subject himself to her leadership anymore.
Yes.
Right. Little after that, they had another rebellion, and another one was thrown overboard, kicking and screaming. And that is half the rumby half the mark.
13 minus 2 leaves 11.
11. So she sailed home now with herself and 11. Mm-hmm. And in the 11... There's four of the backstabbers, and then another one that is out at the time that come back in that is also with the boys.
I find that y'all know so much about your what I call your opposition, or the party for which you do not like. You know so much more.
No. The thing is that you got to study your opponents. That, you know, position is the art of gunnery, but that is how it is done.
It's true.
But don't think that we only know the other side. We know all sides, though. At least I know both sides.
Mm.
I know both sides, so I can speak on it and speak with authority. That's the difference between me and the law.
Mm.
And I'm saying that based on this type of leadership, then you must come up with enough questions to answer.
You mean the leadership that you have, and you lose two people on the voyage?
Well, you cannot have a smooth voyage. You know, mutiny is the worst thing that any captain does fear.
Mm.
From in the days of the pirates, the mutiny is the worst thing a captain does fear. And if you can sail, you must have mutiny, then you would see. And in her original attempt, there was mutiny. Now, in the second attempt, there's even worse mutiny, because this is the first time a sitting member get pelt overboard, kicking and screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And that in all, you know, we can take a look now at... First thing, let me say this, because I like to be clear. Nobody that can't know for themselves can't know for me. And she worked herself up into a situation whereby that she was ragging Dr. Low about his bogus qualifications. And he soaked it up. And the day that he replied, she ran into hiding. He said, "Hair is mine, I'll bring yours, and I'm going to get down on my knees and apologize to you."
And
she somehow was not even able to speak for herself. It's sticking her craw to say, "I don't have an LEC because it wasn't a requirement in my time."
The only thing I say to you before we go on,
mm-hmm.
during this voyage,
mm-hmm.
particularly this second voyage,
mm-hmm.
you seem to have selective facts, because I recall in the second year of the voyage, there was this thing called the Eager 11. What say you?
I said both of them had insurrection.
No, but you didn't mention that. You brought facts.
Lady.
I heard the insurrection part. I heard the insurrection part.
And one was able to put down his.
Yes, you did.
And one allowed hers to escalate. I say that clearly. The insurrection was put down and sail on.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they like to come to look at that, and I just always speak on that whenever they come. One was quelled, and one was escalated.
Mm-hmm.
And that in all, you know, when we talk about leadership, you've got to be able to, somebody that got some spine and some backbone and can speak for themselves, you know. I just might speak for myself or my party and mm-hmm. do it forcefully. And I would like leadership to be able to do that. You had another case whereby misundecided, and they say this all the time, you know, because it really shocked me. Ask a little lollipop question, what are you going to give me? And that made that girl get vilified.
Also, I'm not familiar with that, but you go on.
Yeah, misundecided that she won there, because somehow the force inside there.
Ask who, sorry?
Miss Smartley.
On this
what
program?
On the program, is it?
Oh,
this
sorry.
Is close to Garden Secret? What's on the program?
I didn't hear it, sorry.
Well, you probably don't listen as much as me. What she can give us, because she was on the program, you know, stealing her case.
Mm-hmm.
And that, look what she asked that. Could not answer it.
Miss Motley's not known to not be able to respond to her critics.
Well, you can get it and you would see it. It ain't nowhere hidden.
So let's continue. Based on these, you said you're going to deal with leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Based on these qualities that I shared earlier,
mm-hmm.
what say you about your leader and his readiness for another term of voyage?
Well, I can tell you
mm-hmm.
that based on his record, a lot of them can get knocked out in one. Last time,
a lot of his opponents
to knock out his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And won. The very first meeting, he dead and buried. I can tell you this time, it's going to be many more, because he didn't got the time to go and deal with the others. So he is fighting fit and ready and waiting. Last time they call it on and they had him to faint and to collapse and all sort of thing. And then it over, he was the fittest of them all. 6 meetings and thing a night, I'm coming strong.
So the question though, and this is something I've been thinking about for quite some time. Do we really only choose people based on political parties? Don't we look at the potential policies, the manifesto, and an amalgam of the issues before we go to put that vote? Or we just put the vote because somebody makes us feel good on the night of a particular spot meeting or a rally or something? Are we that dense in 2018?
Well, I don't know why you would want me to answer for 2018, but I joined the DLP right after the 76 election. I followed them, followed them. All I know about the 61 is I ran it to the top of the gap, the city sweep them out. 66, well, between 61 and 66, there was a lot of activity and a hype. I followed them in 66, and by 71, I was voting. But I wouldn't know about 2018. So I didn't jump because I didn't come because of the 2018 nothing. By looking at leadership.
Right.
If somebody cannot defend themselves, how can they defend me? And I want to show you another example where she could not defend herself, you know.
I wouldn't say that impacts on her leadership, because people can say anything. You don't always have to respond or reply.
No. At least you is allowed to state your case, represent yourself.
So you're saying that your leader, and we know who we're speaking about, you're speaking about the Prime Minister at this point, has represented himself whenever there has been a charge. I disagree with you. There are so many issues that people have brought to the fore that the PM has refused to speak to.
Okay. Did he plead no contest to any?
Some of them, yes.
Like what, sir?
A good example would be today when we, the Prime Minister said in May of 2017, let us see what is going to happen. Then we had a budget, and then he said he would speak to the union people in September. In September, he came and said that's not sufficient time for us to see how the NSRL has worked. And then now today, we hear a letter from the permanent secretary of civil service, the head of civil service, saying there's going to be no discussion. There'll be no more discussion. That thing is off the table. The unions will not get a raise, whether it's the BWU that asked for 13% or the NUPW that asked for more. Who's contesting there or who didn't contest there?
But wait a minute. Did they say that the negotiations are
off the table? Yes, no more discussion.
No, that is not true.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
They say wages off the table.
So if it's not wages, if you increase wages, what's that?
If
I ask you for an increase in wages, no discussion on wages, what does that mean then?
Listen to me, Ms. Gale. Negotiations is not only about wages.
Mm-hmm.
So the negotiations is on.
So who's contesting? The only point I'm making, I'm not dealing with the specifics of that case. I'm only saying there are several others, but I'm going to just use this one where someone has avoided dealing with the matter, which is a no contest in your view or your language.
No,
and I'm saying that one is a no contest because...
Ms. Gale, the men avoid dealing with the matter. The operatives in there will deal with the matter. But I wanted to show you another case whereby she refused to resent herself, you know. Mr. Owen Arthur, up at the UE in his office, berated her. And he said she's not fit for leadership. As he also said she got some demons to exorcise, which I'm still waiting to hear what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And she could not match up. So she would have to know what he know, and she don't want him to expose. Because she never tell
that's
you.
That's not a question of a person's leadership. I disagree with you.
It shows weak leadership. You cannot challenge the body. You cannot put a rebuttal to what they're saying. It means it is no contest. You say what you like, and I accept it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Soak it up.
If you.
Nobody can know for me. Ladies, tell my children so clearly. Be leaders and not followers, because the father was a leader. And they can't wrong me with no foolishness that nobody lead them into nothing or guide them into nothing, because whoever they're going to, it's got to be in their leading.
So we will hear from some other callers what they think about leadership and about, you know, if we're looking specifically at the leader of the Democratic Labour Party, Prime Minister Frandall Stewart, and the leadership of Her Majesty's opposition, Miss Mia Motley. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon. I can hear you a little bit. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Can you hear me? You're there, yes. I can hear you. You're listening to your radio. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Well, I'll go to my WhatsAppers in time for the phone call. Strong language. We have some interesting people on WhatsApp. Oy, oy, oy. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm actually hearing two voices.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
Okay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Okay. Now, one of the things I wanted to say, and I think you was talking a bit about it just now, is the poor example that this government is setting before the people. Now, I just heard in the 12:30 news that the government is saying it does not have any money, and it has sent correspondence to the union to tell them to only come to the table if the matters that they need to discuss are not matters relating to pay for civil servants.
Right, non-salary items, to be exact.
Exactly. Now, what I'm saying, ma'am, that this is a disgraceful thing that's going on in Barbados this afternoon. Because Parliament has been dissolved. It seems as though, let me say this, it seems as though the only body that this government could find money for is the politicians. Because you are saying you don't have money to buy buses, and you don't have money to buy trucks, and you don't have money for this or money for that. Well, and that things are really tight in the country, ma'am, if things are tight in the country, the government should have made an effort to call the election within the month of March, because things are tight. You're going to have politicians, some of them getting $16,000 a month for 3 months and more. I said, ma'am, and then you are setting a bad, bad example before people, before civil servants and other persons in the country. Mm. The Democratic Labour Party had a saying in 2008 that they wanted us to wrap ourselves in the flag and be each other's brothers and hold our hands and all these kind of fancy cliches that you hear around election time. Mm. And now you have a situation where the civil servants can't get a raise. I have no problem if the government is saying to the civil service, to the unions, listen, we can't afford a raise at this point in time. If we can't afford a raise, things are hard. But don't tell me that the Prime Minister could go and orchestrate a plan whereby Parliament can be dissolved and for an extra 3 months, ministers are still getting paid. That is not right, and it is a poor example that has been set before the people of Barbados. And I hope that the electorate is watching it. I don't know if you have anything to say, ma'am, before I go on to my second small point.
You can go on to that point.
The second small point I wanted to speak about is what's happening at the Crane Hotel. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have been following this story,
I've been following pretty tight.
Ma'am, but that is an awful situation. That one's just as bad as this one. Because you have a situation where a vendor, and I hear nobody on the news talking about it, but I can speak about it. You have a situation where a vendor who has been given a license to sell on the beach for over 20 years ago has had her equipment, her working equipment,
removed,
confiscated by the Crane Hotel and placed in a container. You have the head of the National Conservation Commission, Keith Neblett, who is saying that he now has to meet with the Crane to decide whether or not the boundaries that the Crane are claiming are theirs, which is the public beach, really belong to the Crane. Oh, my man, ma'am, this is the biggest set of foolishness that I ever see.
I saw it and I myself was taken aback. And I asked, the first question I asked is, does this lady have representation? Does she have a lawyer? Does she have somebody to plead her case? Which looks very, on the surface, it looks pretty simple. But it is, you know, we can find, and this is to our people in Barbados, we can find over 500 people on Facebook talking about the cell phone scenario and talking about different things which are so inconsequential to life.
Exactly.
And they wouldn't represent the interests of the people who really need somebody to hear their side.
Because you, and worst of all, is that the Attorney General, the chief lawmaker, is her parliamentary representative.
Ooh. Yes.
But I cannot understand for the life of me why Mr. Neblett would not. Why do you need to meet with the Crane? You don't have your plot. The Crane is arguing that their boundaries extend on the land that the hotel has been built onto the sand by the sea and into the water. Well, ma'am, if that's true, then the days of private beaches in Barbados have become a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an interesting case to watch, because if the Crane is allowed to win that case, if the case is allowed to win this case,
precedent,
then you can see a whole lot of other hoteliers who have been tempting to do it for some time, repeating the same act.
Yeah, there should be some intervention sought, and there should be a conversation between the vendor. Actually, there are two vendors, and the owners of Crane to come to some kind of resolution. This scenario should not be like this. And the NCC is saying that the beach is national property, is the property of the state. That's what I saw in the press that the NCC.
What I read this morning is that the NCC is saying that they now have to meet with the Crane Hotel to decide whether or not the boundaries that the Crane Hotel are claiming are theirs. It's true. But the NCC should be able to clearly tell Ukraine, step off. It's not yours. Well, anyway, ma'am, I thank you for listening. It has been a very interesting program today.
Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have a few other callers. You are on the air. We are going until 2 p.m. today. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just want to, in relation to what a gentleman was speaking to you earlier about a book, you know, in relation to the 1961 event.
Yes, there are two gentlemen. Now, the one that's edited by Mr.
That's right.
Okay.
Professor Woodward Marshall.
Yes.
So Woodward Marshall is his name. Mm-hmm. Now, the name of that
book, I speak.
I speak for the people.
For the people.
I speak for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the memoirs of Winter Crawford.
Okay.
With Professor. But I want to say something. Also, in 1961, as far as I remember, and this is not from the book now, this is what I remember as a small boy.
Okay.
I remember Mr. J.E.T. Banker was the leader of the opposition when the House was dissolved in 1961.
Mm-hmm.
And he led the Barbados, the Democratic Party in the election in 1961. In fact, I can remember going to a meeting not far from where he lived now, and he was introduced as the leader of the party. At that time.
Okay.
And furthermore...
He has some interesting memories from different people,
but,
huh?
But let me explain something to you. In the same book, and in fact, I remember this story was told before you read it in the book. In 1961, this is what Crawford said, reported to have said in the book. In 1961, there was a meeting at Church Village in St. Philip, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Mr. Montley, E.D. Montley, who led the Barbados National Party at the time, supported the Democratic Labour Party.
Okay.
He was a major supporter in that election.
Mm-hmm.
At that meeting, it is reported in the book that Mr. Montley said to Mr. Barrow, if he wanted to be Premier of Barbados, he would get a man called, who was a Montley supporter, Grandison, to tell the people so at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
As he said, so... They agreed, and Grandison got up at the meeting and told the people at that meeting, if the Democratic Party won the election, that Mr. Barrow would be Premier.
Mm.
Then, after that event, the night when I can't remember which one called it, but in the book it said that either Mr. Crawford or Mr. Banker called one called the other and told them of what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that because it was in the midst of the election, they did not want to cause any dispute. So they never made an issue of it.
I believe there has to be some level of contention around it. You can't have so many miss.
Hello?
Yeah, I believe there could have been some contention there.
But there would have been, because do not forget.
Mr. Barrow is a pretty strong personality. I believe there had to have been some... You know, he said, if this party wins, I will lead it, or something would have
happened. No, the gentleman, this Grandison got up and told the crowd, apparently, is what was said.
You see, now you're going with hearsay. You're not going with anything that has been corroborated.
This is what it said in the book. This is what Mr. Crawford said in the book.
Mm-hmm.
That Mr. Montley got Grandison to get up at the meeting in Church Village and tell the crowd that Mr. Barrow would have been Premier.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he read in the book.
Right, but because you read it in the book don't mean that it is
accurate. This is what Mr. Crawford said. In fact, that story was also reported to me, was told before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, but that's what I heard. Anyway, if you read the book, if you, I don't know if you read the book.
I think I remember reading it, though.
If you read the book, you see it in there. That he said so. I don't know, but that's what Crawford said, reported to have said. That's how I put it. Mm-hmm. That is reported that Crawford said it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's true or not. I wasn't there. But anyhow, Mr. Barrow at the time was not leader of the party in 61.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I believe that there was that Mr. Crawford, as you know, was apparently no great lover of Mr. Barrow.
There had to have been some contention. So we will seek to get some more feedback. Someone did send me a copy of the findings of that election. It was a Caribbean website, actually. So I would do a bit more reading on it. These things are interesting.
Something that is very interesting in the 61 election that people don't talk about a lot. The BNP under Mr. Motley supported the Democratic Party. And Mr. Motley and Frank Walker, as I remember as a small boy, I remember quite well. I went to quite a few meetings. In fact, I could see Mr. Motley below my house now, addressing a meeting. And they were very devastating, he and Frank Walker, in that election.
Devastating how? Could you share with me?
I mean, as a platform speaker.
You see,
no? Both of them, both he and Frank Walker. To me, to my mind, they were the two best platform speakers I've heard in my lifetime in Barbados. I really enjoyed listening to them. You see, as youngsters, we got a lot of fun. We enjoyed going to their meetings. Nobody could beat them in terms of pulling crowds and the, you know,
the articulation and the charisma, and
rabble rousing
content and
calling
a man an idiot when you don't use the word idiot.
The two best. You can't beat them. There's nobody to compare them now. I'm telling you, for me as a youngster, when I compare, I went to put so many political meetings. I was 6 years old. I was attending political meetings. I saw Grandy Adams, Frank Walker, the same dog husbands, a host of them, everybody. I've gone to meetings, but I remember the two of those.
So you followed then.
Yeah.
You still follow now. Would you say the standard has changed or
from your perspective? It's a different political environment. I'll tell you what has happened. The earlier politicians, they were more concerned with dealing with social issues. And trying to transform the society at the time, things like education and lifting the masses up. It was more social development, I would so call it. What has happened in recent years, to all the major issue now that politicians have to address is managing the economy, creating jobs, and so on. That's the critical issue that are facing these people now. Where will we take Barbados' economy?
Yeah, what's the vision? What's the strategy going forward? And
this is the critical. Any person coming to get my vote and talk to me about election, let me hear what is your vision for Barbados' economy in the future. What new economy you're going
economy,
to create?
Not just the economy.
But the economy is the fundamental thing.
Well, one of them.
How are you going to, for instance, madam, I would say this, a fundamental issue this country has to address is how are we going to create wealth?
So I'm going to ask you a question. These same school children, aren't they units of production for the same economy? If we don't fix our education system, don't you think there's an integral relationship between the two?
I agree on that. But I'm saying, yes, you have to create the kind of education system that will produce the
right. So that's why it has to be a multifaceted approach as we look at strategy for Barbados. National planning encompasses the economy.
But why say wealth creation? I'll say this. In fact, this is a long topic. I would really tell you on.
Well, you can hear the music.
Okay, you're talking.
So I'm going to have to take a lead here. I'm going to thank Mr. Graham Vaughan for assisting me in the studio. And also Mr. Ian Gill. My name is Lisa Gill. We had a good time. We heard from many callers. Thank you for your calls. For the large dozens of WhatsApps that I could not read through, so my apologies to all of you. It was a pleasure for me. This is Down to Brass Tacks.